The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
It's Super Bowl week, so we've got a lot to talk about on this edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, alongside Super Bowl Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Happy to have you aboard from the downtown Score Studios here in Chicago. You can tweet us questions using the hashtag CBNetwork, and we'll try to answer as many as we can throughout the show. You can also call us up and talk to us at 312-644-6767. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, it'll be time to play Ask Tom. It's a favorite game of ours here on the show. It's basically where we take calls nonstop, rapid-fire style for a full segment, and who we deem to be the best caller, the person that asked Tom the best question during that segment, will win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So it'll be very cool. We're also going to talk to one of your former teammates, Super Bowl Bear Mike Tomczak, because we need a quarterback's perspective here with this game having two really different styles at the quarterback position with Russell Wilson and Peyton Manning.
Right, and we just don't get a chance to catch up that much with, you know, Mike being a local guy, having great NFL experience. I think the longest tenured NFL Super Bowl player of our 85 team. And you think of his accomplishments coming into the NFL as a free agent to his local team the year the Bears go to the Super Bowl, and he makes it as a third quarterback that had, you know, earned starts and playing time and really had a great career for himself.
Yeah, went all the way from Calumet City to
TF North, played for his dad, Ron Tomczak, who was a great, great man.
Yeah, no question about it. And then I think he finished his career up with the Lions at the year 2000. So, I mean, he lasted a while.
I like
NFL
to forget about that year. I don't want to have my buddy associated to the Lions.
Well, one of your buddies is out in New York City right now covering the Super Bowl.
Our buddies.
Yeah, so who better to talk to about what's happening in New York right now in preparation for Super Bowl 48 than the voice of the Bears? Jeff Joniak joins us now here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Jeff, who's the biggest celebrity that you've met so far in Manhattan?
I haven't met any celebrities, all football players. So if you want to toss them into the class, I guess that would count. But, you know, all the Hall of Famers that are walking around, I'll just say, you know, you run into Mike Ditka, that's as big as you get. So there's been a bunch of movie stars and people walking around. But in terms of the teams itself, the two big ones obviously are Peyton Manning, the Denver Broncos, and then, you know, with the Seahawks, you got Russell Wilson and a bunch of other guys trying to make a name for themselves. But really the Marshawn Lynch angle has really been the biggest story note of any kind, really.
All right, well, I got two questions for you. Have you seen any modern-day Bears or ex-Bears outside of Mike Ditka? And is the Marshawn Lynch...
Let's start with that one. Let's start with that one first, because I didn't see him myself, but I saw him on television in Times Square. Matt Forte had what best can be described as a fire engine red suit, head to toe, sitting in a fire engine red leather chair in Manhattan doing an interview on NFL Network. He was apparently the talk of the media center yesterday walking through there. And just about an hour and a half ago, ran into Peanut. So Tillman was making the rounds. He's the NFL Man of the Year nominee, one of the three finalists, and had a short conversation with him. He's excited about the potential of bringing home that honor back to Chicago. He's been a finalist 2 years in a row, and, of course, Izzy Adonijay was in 2010. And then, you know, we talked about next year. And, he seemed to be optimistic. Doors not closed on the Bears, certainly.
Well, the Marshawn Lynch thing, is this more of a distraction or is it a help to Seattle? Because to me, it's almost become a distraction, even though it's nonsense what they're talking about.
See, I evaluate distractions differently. If it's something that happened away from the team's, you know, curfew, if a guy's dealing with some personal tragedy, this guy is not interested in talking. So if he has nothing to say when you ask him a question, why do you want to talk to him? But, you know, the media hung around him today like he was a movie star. I mean, Michael Robinson sitting next to him. Now, he was more cordial today. I couldn't get into the mix. I mean, they had him into a wall, and he was, it was just, you know, he was answering whatever. But he was a little more cordial today. I mean, you got to give a tip of the cap to Michael Robinson. I don't think it's in any way can be defined as a distraction, because it's just a non-football, you know, what amounts to for him about 18 minutes of his time this week, Tom.
Does it take away something from the quarterbacks? You mentioned them already, the two most popular guys at the Super Bowl. Is he taking something away from the quarterbacks?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's just more, you know, this is all about, frankly, it's all about the media demanding to talk to him, because that's what you have to do in the National Football League. So he made his appearances, and that's it. You know, I don't think it really takes away from anything. He's a super confident guy. You know, we have a mutual friend, Eric Studisville, the running back coach for the New York Giants, Tom. And, you know Eric very well. You guys used to love talking X's and O's at a moment's notice. The guy knows his football. And he coached Marshawn as a rookie. And, he described him very differently than what we see. So, you know, with his teammates and coaches, the guy's aces. And then he's an outstanding running back, and he's going to be a big part of this game on Sunday in terms of who's going to win and who's not going to win. He's a big factor.
Bears play-by-play man Jeff Joniak talking Super Bowl with us live from New York here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. So play the role of editor for us. What are the stories that people have missed that we should be paying attention to?
Man, I don't think, you know, with this many media, I mean, Sun Times themselves sent four bodies down here to cover this thing. So I don't think much has been missed. I mean, it is what it is. The number one offense with Peyton Manning and the number one defense of Seattle, arguably the best defense in the NFL since the 85 Bears. At least that's how the way it's being framed by the national writers, the football writers. And, you know, you got a couple of guys that are quotable on each side, you know, two coaches that are, you know, very, very similar in their approach, but dissimilar in terms of their backgrounds and where they were born and raised and how they lived their lives and so forth. You know, both with a really good plan. I mean, I think it's a good plan. It's going to be interesting. The chess match will be the most interesting story, I think, of the whole deal. What are the Seahawks going to do when they go to their four wide and spread the field, and how they work those underneath routes, and if it's going to open up the running game for Peyton Manning, and if they can run the ball on Denver's defense with this Terrence Knighton, who's been, you know, really going from nowhere to somewhere in the blink of an eye. You know, he's got a great nickname, Pot Roast, and he's all of a sudden become an outstanding, you know, 330-pound defensive tackle for the Denver Broncos, and a real delight to talk to you also.
Well, you have an impact player like that on the defensive line. At least you can make a play or an area of the field one-dimensional. If he gets penetration, then he's going to shut off a portion of the field. That's why, a guy with that body weight and the ability to move on the defensive line is so important to any scheme you play. 3-4 and 4-3, and hopefully the Bears can get one of those guys. What about New York? Is New York held up to their responsibility of the Super Bowl?
I really do believe so, Tom, but all that matters right now is game day, and so what will the process be like on game day? Will everybody get to where they need to go without incident? Will the weather hold up? It looks like it's going to be better than everyone thought. You know, I've read some national columnists say that this doesn't feel like a big event as much as it should, because it's in New York, and Zach can speak to that because he's a New Yorker, because there are so many events here. I disagree. It has a great feel. I mean, the city does look great. Times Square is unbelievable. It's over-illuminated. They've got a whole Super Bowl Boulevard set up today. You know, just coming back on the bus from the news conferences, there were more people here than at any point this week, and the streets were just flooded with people around. You know, if you're the NFL, you're loving what you're seeing. There have been some slick displays by, you know, all the national networks that are broadcasting, from ESPN, NFL Network, to even CBS Radio Network. I mean, just some really sharp-looking things. I mean, it makes the NFL look great. I mean, it's all shiny and sparkly. So from that point until the game itself, I think, they've done well. They've had police escorts repeatedly around here for every media bus to everything that needs to be taken care of, and there really have been, you know, no incidents that I could speak of. It's been a little cold for some, but it's winter, and this is the way it is. But other than that, I can't really find much to target as being a disappointment here.
And
you got to give New Jersey some credit, too, because some of these events have been in New Jersey, obviously.
Including the big game on Sunday. And for people who listen to you guys broadcasting every single Sunday, you know that Jeff loves this type of stuff. He loves football in the elements. And we haven't gotten your take on this. Do you like the fact that the Super Bowl is being played outdoors in the Northeast? And while the weather isn't going to be as bad as people initially thought, the elements might still play a factor. The wind does swirl inside that stadium a little bit.
Hey, you're asking me or Tom?
You.
I don't care. I really don't care that you know how I feel about indoor football. So it's well stated. I hate it for a Super Bowl. You know, I don't care about the elements. It is a part of the game. So, you know, the whole enormity of having and staging a Super Bowl in a place like New York City was not about the weather for me. It was about traffic. It was about, you know, the population. It was about, I mean, on a given day, you know, you can get stuck in the Holland Tunnel and that's it, right? I mean, you're sitting in a three-hour jam. Stuff like that, just to get around, spaced out here, you know, Midtown Manhattan all the way to, you know, New Jersey, back and forth we go. I mean, I thought that was going to be, you know, a potential hurdle. But the weather, I don't care. Some of the greatest games in NFL history, championship games, have been played in really rotten conditions.
For a crabby guy like me, how is the practice scenario for the practice fields for the players during the week and the transfer to each? How was that? Because again, that is a factor that plays a role. Do they have good proper practice preparation fields?
Okay, for Seattle, they're working indoors. They're opening every door in the indoor facility that they possibly can to make it cold. And so apparently that's done. Well, I talked today with the former Notre Dame wide receiver for the Seahawks, Golden Tate, and he said his hands, he almost felt like they were frostbite. It was so cold in there. Now, he's exaggerating because the temperatures haven't been to that level and they were indoors. So, but, you know, they're trying to mimic conditions as much as possible. That surface is exact surface that they are practicing on that will be in the stadium on Sunday, albeit, you know, it's outside and this one's inside. So there's no complaints. The Denver Broncos, they don't have an indoor facility in Denver, so they wanted to practice outside. That's their deal. They practice outdoors no matter what time of year it is. And so from each side, having not able to see the practices, obviously, or know what it would take to get from place to place, I think it's gone pretty well.
Do you want to give us a pick before you go?
Well, I'm going, you know, I talk to you every day this week, not as much as you would like. I know you missed me. I know you missed talking to me. I didn't return all your phone calls promptly.
Don't avoid the question.
Yeah, I started with Seattle. I'm going to end with Seattle. I just, there's a vibe. There's a vibe with this team. I know there's a bunch of guys that have never been in a Super Bowl, including a young quarterback. As good as he is, he's still a young quarterback. But I just feel they've got something about them. And I think they can find a way to stop Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. So I don't know what kind of score it's going to be. I'm not going there. I just like Seattle.
There you go, Chicagoland.
Good stuff.
Well,
thanks,
what do you want
Jeff.
Me to do? Do you want me to give you an exact
I wanted you to just pick one of the two teams. I'm not worried about the score.
You're right.
Sentimentally, I like Peyton Manning, but I think realistically, I go for the confident in Seattle defense.
Yeah, I mean, they just you got it. I mean, that's the word, confident. No, not that Denver isn't. It's just, I don't know, there's just something about them.
Defensive confidence is different.
Jeff, good stuff.
Thanks,
stay warm.
Jeff.
Enjoy the game.
Don't eat out of
What's
the street.
That, Tom?
Don't eat out of the street carts.
No chance. I'm too highbrow for that.
You right. Don't know where they boil that water. Jeff, thank you very
See
much.
Ya.
Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears, giving his take on Super Bowl 48 live from New York. We're going to take a quick time out.
You liked hanging up on him, didn't you?
No, gave you a little power punch.
No, I put him on hold. I don't hang up on the voice of the Bears. He's royalty when it comes to our broadcast.
He's our scene setter for us.
All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk to one of your former teammates. Mike Tomczak will break down Super Bowl 48 with us right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You can hit the beach with five of your favorite Chicago Bears players, including Earl Bennett, this March in Cabo. Visit applevacations.com/bears for more information. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Alongside Super Bowl Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sabin. Happy to have you aboard. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We'll be taking your phone calls in just a little bit. But time now to welcome one of Tom's former teammates, including a guy who was a member of the 85 Bears. People forget about that.
Right, and a Super Bowl with the Steelers. You know, two-time Super Bowl participant sounds a lot better than one-time Super Bowl participant like myself.
Hey, Mike Tomczak was better than you. Can't say it any other way.
Played a better position.
Joining us now is the native of Cal City. Hey, Mike, welcome aboard.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. What's going on?
Just talking a little, you know, Mike, you have so many different directions to talk to us about the Super Bowl, because I think the two of the most important players that are being talked about this week is the quarterback. And then you got one that is really young with no experience, one that's older with a lot of experience, and his second – is Peyton's second Super Bowl or third?
Third
Super Bowl you had too. But I'm just is the quarterback – is Russell Wilson from Seattle, is he able to be the quarterback of Seattle and get everything done – that he needs to get done in terms of a first-time quarterback playing in this game?
That's a good question, Tom. Time will tell. I think he has all the physical tools. It sounds like he has all the mental tools to go out there and perform at a high level. And he hasn't played his A game yet throughout the playoffs and the latter part of the season. It's been well documented. But, you know, what's interesting about the Super Bowl, Tom, is you guys know, that there are a lot of storylines that are getting written and talked about, and I've heard him in a couple of interviews thus far, and just seemed like his mindset's in the right place, and he's a tremendous role model, and he believes wholeheartedly in his teammates, and you know that's what helps him win the game, his teammates. And Tom, you can attest to this, and Zach, you observed it from a distance, that you know, teams win championships, and it's imperative the quarterback plays well. And I believe that he has the tools to get it done.
All right, what week of practice is more important for him? Last week when they're in Seattle, or this week, the week you know leading up to the game? You know, they go through the same information, but for a young guy like that, what week do you think is more important for him?
Obviously, I think last week was when you really put in, you know, just variations of your offense, you know, kind of wrinkles, dress up some formations and some motion. Get a different look in the secondary, just expect the unexpected type of thing, because you don't want to have to go through those. Because there's so much to install, you know, with keeping the framework of the offense intact. And so they did all their trickery stuff and last week in Seattle, and I'm sure this week they're just polishing up on the basics. And, you know, that's one thing looking back at our careers, Tom, you know, we really focused on – we were hitting pretty good that week before the Super Bowl. And then when we got down in New Orleans, you know, it seemed to – back off a little bit, but you know, I think both these guys have the capability of getting it done, and it's going to be exciting to watch.
Tom and Zach talking to Tomczak.
Right, that's what you said that last week.
Here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. That would be Mike Tomczak.
Hey, I want to outtake of that. I want to hear that again.
It's Tom and Zach talking to Tomczak here on Bears All Access. Now, what I before we start breaking down what you guys did when you prepared back in 1986 to take on the Patriots, I was at that game on the sidelines earlier this season between the Bears and the Steelers. Remember, Tom?
Right, yes.
And it was a primetime game, and the Steelers held their alumni night, and Mike Tomczak was there. Then a few weeks later, the Bears hold their alumni day at Soldier Field, and look who shows up again, Mike Tomczak. Right. How many different ones did you have this year?
And the week after Pittsburgh, you went to Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly. I was on a three-week tour of former teams, and that's what happens. You know, it's amazing to experience that at this, you know, stage of my life. You know, you put so much time and effort and camaraderie is tremendous. But as Tom would attest, it's no different. You just pick up where you were, you know, 25 years ago. The stories are the same. They're embellished a little bit. And you know, to your point, Zach, I was in Chicago for the Bears-Minnesota game, and then the week following, the Bears came in and put a spanking on the Steelers on a Sunday night game, and it's just great to see, you know, fellas in both cities are well-diversed in their championships, and, you know, my heart's in Chicago, obviously, from what I experienced there, but I've had some good times here in Pittsburgh as well.
You know, one thing I remember about that Sunday night in Pittsburgh is Tom Zach ran into your buddy, Ashton Kutcher, right?
Ashton Kutcher, yeah, big-time Bears.
And he said something about Mike's role in the Super Bowl shuffle. That's how when Mike introduced himself. So, I mean, you talk about being multidimensional in the movie star world.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it did. You know, the irony is, I think, you know, even celebrities, Tom, we come across, you know, people in our path in our lifetime. We were just talking earlier about Michael Douglas, you know, is a big sports fan. And, you know, your friend Eddie Vedder is a huge Bears fan. And, you know, it brings out a lot of the stars, you know, when you get on prime time. And obviously, this weekend, we're going to see a lot of that leading up to the Super Bowl.
I heard Peyton Manning talking about this because he was asked about, you know, being at the Super Bowl with a different organization. And he said that the memories and the bond that you share with the guys that he won Super Bowl 41 with the Colts against the Bears, that never leaves you. And you have that chemistry, that bond, that closeness for life. Do you guys have that? When you look at your teammates, do you still keep in touch with just about everybody who's still around from that championship team?
Yeah, you keep in touch with the guys you have a chance to see, but I think every time you, if you don't see them for a while, it's still great seeing them, and you enjoy it as much as if you see them every day. Mike, you got to have the same experiences.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And, you know, what's nice about Zach, I'll share his story, that when I came back to the Bears alumni thing, not only did I get a chance to get reacquainted with Tom and Jay, Hildenberg and Suey and the likes of many, but I had a chance to spend some time with Ruby Zori, who's, you know, suffering alum, you know, former Chicago Bear with his dementia and his stroke 18 months ago. And you feel for those guys, you know, because they put in all the effort, and now look at them, and you just don't want to put yourself in that place in that time. But, you know, your heart goes out to the individuals like that. But there's also a good side, you know, seeing Mike Richardson, you know, seeing a guy that's battled and, you know, persevered in his life, and even the successes of, you know, our former teammates and Ron Rivera and Jeff Fisher and Leslie Frazier and Mike Sperry, and I'm probably leaving a bunch of guys out. But, you know, it's just interesting. Life goes on, and here we are talking about Super Bowl 8.
All right, last question. What's your take on the game? Give us a little bit of insight and your thought of how the Super Bowl is going to go down.
Yeah, you know, obviously weather's been a factor, talking about leading up, you know, for the last 10 days. And I think if there is anything with the weather, whether it be, you know, the wind, if a team becomes one-dimensional and only could pass going into that direction, you know, it could hinder Denver a little bit. You know, one thing that I do like, Tom, is the fact that these offenses have explosive personnel on the outside. You know, Golden Tate is a down-the-field guy. Obviously, we know what Denver has and you know, Wes Walker and, you know, the Thomases, and then you got that Eric Decker. So it comes down to, my opinion, the offensive lines. And I'm not saying that because you're on the phone right now, Tom, but, you know, by and large, you know, when we dominated in 86 and when we fell short, you know, in 96 for the Steelers, the offensive line just took over the game. And when you get that mindset and you get that feeling, the momentum shift, it's powerful, and Tom could talk about that for hours. And I just think whoever protects your quarterback the best is going to have the best chance. I like Denver, 31-28 in the first ever overtime game Sunday night.
I like it. That's going out on the ledge right there.
Very bold.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Thanks for taking some time out with us.
My pleasure. Go Bears.
Zach and Tom with Tom Zach. Mike Tom Zach, the former Bear, spending some time with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Before we take the break, and we'll be taking your phone calls, because Ask Tom is going to be next, 312-644-6767. Line it up right now. Because
It's next.
Oh, let's do it next. Let's have some fun here. At stake, the best caller in the next segment is going to get a gift certificate to Sports Authority.
I got
to
say,
312-644-6767. Go ahead.
You want to say it again, the number?
312-644-6767.
Every caller that we had, the calls have been great, and they've given us topics that we could do a whole nother show from. And that's been the interesting thing about it. If you are paying attention, you have a question, bring it up.
All right, so we'll do that next. But before we hit the break, When you look back at the week leading up to your Super Bowl against the Patriots back in 1986, the things that you guys did, would you recommend other teams doing that? Because it seems to me the word distraction just didn't affect the 85 Bears.
We were the distraction. Nobody distracted us. We were the distraction that came to your town. And again, it's the accomplishment of the first week of the Super Bowl preparation. Make sure mentally that you're in the right place so that when you go back down there the next week, you're just polishing the game plan. You're not inserting it. And that's the key ingredient there, is I think that we are mentally and physically prepared by the time we got to New Orleans.
And I want you to think about this, because I'm going to ask you this later on in the show. The craziest story that you're able to tell on the radio about that week of preparation leading up to the big victory against the Patriots. And keep it clean, you know, because there's certain things I'm sure you can't say. But just think about it. You've got all show to do it. But coming up next, Ask Tom, 312-644-6767. The best caller next segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We go rapid fire style. Your chance to directly talk to Super Bowl Bear Tom Thayer on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Do you want to have the opportunity to watch the NFL's brightest rising stars leave it all on the field as they compete in the biggest interview of their lives, the 2014 NFL Scouting Combine? Now is your opportunity by entering the Chicago Bears and Bridgestone Road to the Combine Sweepstakes at ChicagoBears.com. Tom Thayer's along. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is the part of the show we like to call Ask Tom. It's real simple. We go to your phone calls at 312-644-6767, rapid fire style. We don't say hello, goodbye. It's real quick. I call on you. You ask Tom a question. At the end of the segment, we'll be keeping notes here. So at the end of the segment, we will pick who we deem to be the best caller of the segment, and that caller will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So it's pretty cool stuff. Ready? Should we do it? And
let's,
it's anything
and
Bears, NFL, football related. Let's begin the festivities at 312-644-6767 with Aaron on the north side. Aaron, you're on Bears All Access with Tom Thayer.
Yeah, I had a question for Tom. We know this during this season, Robbie Gould missed that field goal in overtime against Vikings. And that day he had given birth to a child. So I was wondering if Tom ever had a story where he was emotionally vested in something and that day he played bad.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the first time I ever played against the Atlanta Falcons, and my brother-in-law played on for the Atlanta Falcons, and I spent a lot of years hanging out down there, so I knew those guys really well. And I think in the game, I jumped off sides twice, broke my chin strap a couple times, and was really disheveled because you want to go out there and have a performance of your lifetime. And then when they, you know, say holding 57, offsides 57, that's pretty bad. But, you know, in Robbie and his scenario, it's so amplified because it meant so much. For me, it was just a couple holding calls and offsides.
Correct, but I don't think Robbie was mentally distracted.
No, either do I.
Yeah, I think he missed that field goal from 66 yards, I think, indoors. He had never missed a field goal in the Metrodome in his career. And then it was an unusual circumstance to kick. And you always talk about rhythm and routine. You're not expecting, I think, to go into the game on second down in that
situation.
Right,
exactly. I think when you give Robbie leading up to a fourth down situation, he's behind the net hitting kicks. When they call on you on second down, maybe you're not into your mental rhythm. Good question, though, Aaron.
312-644-6767, the phone number. Ask Tom continues here on Bears All Access with Chuck in Geneva.
Hey, Chuck.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I need your unbiased opinion. In your opinion, where do you think the Bears of 85 rank as far as having the most diverse personalities and power in a team to play in the Super Bowl?
You know, I would still put it up there with one of the top two or three teams that have gone on to win a Super Bowl. Yeah, there's better, you know, eras of certain teams. But if you want to take one team that goes into the game with such high confidence during any era, I put the 85 Bears against anybody because we had great leadership on offense at the offensive line and the running back position, dominance from the defense. So I still would put the 85 Bears up in any era, any time, against any team.
I have so many questions off of what was just asked, but it's not my part of the segment, so I got to keep quiet.
312-644-6767.
Andy in Evanston, Ask Tom with Tom Thayer.
Hey, Andy.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Who is the undisputed most successful athlete ever from Chicago?
Wow. That is born and raised in the Chicagoland area, the most from Chicago. Oh, man. That's something that I have to ponder for a couple seconds, because there's probably some greatness in a sport outside the major three of basketball, baseball, football, and in hockey and such, and, you know, some greatness. Andy stumped us. That may be the question of the day, but let's go on and hear some more.
Andy's got the early lead here for that gift certificate to Sports Authority. 312-644-6767.
George Mikan from Joliet, one of the all-time great centers in the NBA history.
It's true, a DePaul legend. Yeah. You're right. You could go with Ray Meyer, his coach,
yes,
who is a Notre Dame basketball star and then a DePaul legend. You could also go with Chris Chelios.
I got homesick at Ray Meyer's basketball camp when I was a little kid and left.
No.
After 1 week, he put his arm around me and said, "Son, get out of athletics. It's not for you." And I've gone on to have some great moments with Ray Meyer, and I told that story to him a few times, but it's all documented in homesick letters I sent to our next-door neighbor.
We'll bring that up during the next DePaul broadcast. All right, 312-644-6767. Rolling Meadows, Chris, Ask Tom on Bears All Access.
Hey, Chris.
Yes, hi. How you doing, Tom?
Good.
Zach. I wanted to talk about the Green Bay game, the fourth down call, when we decided to challenge probably the league's best quarterback. I know he was just coming back from injury, but, I mean, he ended up throwing basically from our 40-yard line a 60-yard game-winning touchdown. Why didn't we go into more of a defensive posture? Why did we challenge Aaron Rodgers and not maybe put it on their kicker on fourth down?
I think it's the time, the moment, the second. You know, it's like we're talking, why do you kick the ball on second down, you know, given the fact that the way the situation played itself out. I think you're there trying to challenge Aaron Rodgers, like you said, just coming back from injury, to see if he's the guy that's going to beat you. Because there had to be a defense called. The defense they called, I think there was confidence that they called the right defense as long as everybody fulfilled their assignments to the whistle. When that doesn't happen, you expose yourself to greatness, and that's Aaron Rodgers, whether it's on first, second, or third down. So it's kind of the key ingredient. You have to have perfect defensive play by all 11 guys. And if you get one guy who can, you know, is defending a person that can touch the ball out of position, Aaron Rodgers will expose you.
Ask Tom rolls on with Jay from the West Side. You're on Bears All Access. Ask Tom.
Yeah, hey, Tom.
Hi, Jay.
I was wondering that with the success that Colin Kaepernick had last year, making it to the Super Bowl, and then this year with Russell Wilson having the, you know, possibility of winning the Super Bowl, that if he does, if that'll kind of change be the catalyst for change around the league, with a lot of teams now choosing maybe to go for more of a mobile running style as opposed to, you know, the classic Brady, Peyton Manning pocket quarterback.
You know, I think if you have the opportunity and you have greatness fall in your lap like a guy like Andrew Luck, then you're always going to pick that type of guy. If you believe that you have the creativity from your offensive coaching staff and you can take it, talent of a specific type, and then you can create an offense around him, you better have great coaching confidence. That's the key ingredient for Jim Harbaugh. You saw what he did with Alex Smith after a slow start to his career, then what he's able to do with that offense in making sure he uses all of his personnel. It's the creativity of the offensive coach that has much to do with creating these Russell Wilsons and Colin Kaepernicks and such. But to me, if I can get the Andrew Luck for an 11, 12, 15-year career, I would still take Luck over mobility.
And many say Johnny Manziel, who has a style that's more similar to Russell Wilson, say, than Peyton Manning, he could be the number one pick of the draft. So there is a little bit of a change taking place, I think.
Right. Again, the coaching staff, the personnel's got to be the right place for them. You know, Johnny Manziel can have a great career. Will he, you know, how abusive will it get to him? We've seen the toll it's already taken on Robert Griffin III. If you have mobility, but have Haloti Ngata at 385 pounds knock his belly into you with full momentum, you see what the results are.
312-644-6767. Our final few moments here on Ask Tom. We continue with Chris from West Lawn. Chris, Ask Tom.
Yes. What I'd ask Tom is, when you were playing the offensive line, while you were waiting for the ball to be hiked, what would you look for in the line to see, like how you should block, or what way you should stand up to go and make the block? And were there any signs like a defensive player would show you sometimes?
That's a great question, Chris. Yeah, you know, every play that you break the huddle spurs a thousand thoughts. As you're approaching the line of scrimmage, you see who you're going up against, what you thought about him in preparation. How are they balanced? Are their feet wide where they're going to hold you off if you try to power drive them off? Is their feet narrow where they're going to try to explode off field? So, yeah, you had a thought process of a thousand different things that went through your mind, and then how did your assignment factor in exactly where the person is standing above you or whoever you have to block? All those types of things filter into the process. And we're fortunate to have an offensive line coach like Dick Stanfield who got us ready for all those things. He explained every scenario that we are going to face before we ever saw it. So we got ourselves into a better position before it happened to us because of what Dick Stanfield taught us while it happened through his career.
Our final contestant here on Ask Tom, and we've had some really good questions here tonight. Terry in Streeter, you're on Bears All Access. Ask Tom.
Yes, I was wanting to know, Seattle Seahawks playing on the Pacific Coast, being on the that side, is the atmosphere is pretty mild. Playing in New York, how much will the atmosphere over there be a different type of temperament of the atmosphere with it being colder coming off the Atlantic? Thank you.
I think it would probably affect a guy like Peyton Manning more than it would Seattle, because Seattle has a comfort zone within their passing attack. It doesn't get too lengthy with Russell Wilson, but then Marshawn Lynch is their guy. This could be a saving grace for the offensive line. A little bit out of shape at this point in the season. Cooler temperatures, and if Marshawn Lynch is your guy, then their offensive line is going to be able to go all day. If they have inclement conditions, it can be a factor to a guy like Peyton Manning, because the intricacy of his passing game, the exact, you know, aiming point that he has to have. So to me, I think it can affect Peyton and Denver more than it will Seattle.
All right. So I thought we had, this is probably the best edition so far.
Yeah.
A lot of tough questions. Andy from Evanston stumped you a little bit.
Well, you know what? Someone messaged me and said, what about George Halas? You know, how about George Halas is the greatest, you know.
You could, absolutely.
For what George Halas did, my gosh.
Tremendous championship football player, championship owner, championship head coach, baseball player.
Thank you.
I mean, yes. Superstar college athlete. I mean, basically is responsible for the National Football League,
yes,
that we have today.
Dick
so,
Butkus. Now, you know.
You know, you got, right, Butkus, you know, and then there are other sports. But because it was so broad, I'm not picking that one as my winner. I'm going with Jay from the West Side, who was asking you about the intricacies of having, you know, the pure pocket passer as opposed to the running quarterbacks.
Right.
And you brought up, so I'm going to pick Jay from the West Side as my winner.
I also believe that Mark Trestman can cultivate the mind of a quarterback like not a lot of other coaches in the league.
What's interesting to me is that Trestman played a little bit of a role in helping develop Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Totally different quarterback than Jay Cutler.
Yes.
Totally different quarterback than Steve Young. Totally different quarterback than
Scott
Mitchell.
If Mark Trestman would have met Jay when Jay was a freshman in college, Jay would have had an unbelievable opportunity to explode. And that, you know, that would be the key ingredient of growing a talent.
Coming up next, Bill Belichick had some interesting comments in regards to Peyton Manning. He's probably the guy who's had the most success against him, so we'll get his take on this Super Bowl matchup, and we'll close out the show by getting your best memory, the story that you're allowed to share on the air about what happened in the week.
I met Vanna White the week of the Super Bowl, and I was in love with her at the time. And she walked up in a restaurant, because at the time, a guy that my brother-in-law played with in the Atlanta Falcons, his wife, they were roommates. And I got, so that was just a small one.
Did you buy a vowel?
Oh, I would have bought her a diamond ring.
That's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sedman. More of Bears All Access rolls on here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Register today at priceless.com/Chicago from MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's Super Bowl week, and Tom has a Super Bowl ring. By the way, your ring, compared to some of the other rings in later years, it doesn't even look like a ring compared to what these guys have. These unbelievable, it looks like pendants attached to their fingers. Have you seen these rings?
Yeah, yeah. Ours, the one that we had for us, is sociably wearable. Some of the other ones you have out there, they're not sociably wearable. It's like you're wearing a dining room table on your finger.
I looked at some of the rings that, and at the Hall of Fame, they have a ring that shows you throughout the years how it's just the style has advanced from, say, when the Packers won all the way to what you saw last year with the Ravens. And these things get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It really is more than a ring. It's like a trophy.
Right. And it's gotten kind of silly in that case, because, you know, the representation that the ring means, it speaks so much for a player throughout their career and everything. And it should be wearable and recognizable, not like a distraction and embarrassing.
All right, so it is Super Bowl week. No one has had more experience beating Peyton Manning than Bill Belichick. And he spoke to the New York Daily News today about his thoughts on Peyton Manning. And he says, quote, "He changes little things as he goes, and they end up becoming big things, even if it's something as small as a snap count. And it's totally him. This is his offense, the one he ran in Indianapolis. He's the one managing the game. You'll see him giving a hand signal to one of his receivers, and the guy will run a slant. The next week, he'll give the exact same hand signal, only the same guy won't run a slant. He'll run a go. You can never zero in on him the way you can with other teams. You play him honest, but still worry about everything." And Belichick goes on to say, "There haven't been many games you look at in total and say that Manning and his offense were the reason his team lost the game. The Baltimore game last year, come on. He got beat because the defense gave up a big play. I look at him the way we looked at Joe Montana. You beat him with an entire team game. The more you keep him on the sideline, the more pressure you can put on him to make a play when he's back on the field." And that brings me to, do you remember the week back in 2007 leading up to the Bears-Colts game and what you were studying with Peyton Manning on tape and what was different when the game actually started and what he was able to do?
You know, it's the whole week of practice. It's preparing his players to make sure they do the right thing in the game. And I think there was so much talk about watching Peyton Manning, looking at his hand signals, looking at his head movement. You can't pay attention to that. You have to make sure that you understand the performance of your defense. And then as the time's whittling off the play clock, then you have to make sure that you understand you're in the right position according to what their possibilities of their offensive personnel. So again, you know, you just have to make sure that you have confidence in your own game plan. If you think that you're going to be, you know, thinking you're going to go and play Peyton Manning, he's going to kill you.
That's why I believe the most important player on the field come Sunday is going to be Marshawn Lynch, coupled with the offensive line of the Seahawks. Because if they're having success, you're not going to see Peyton Manning, and he doesn't have a chance to hurt you.
Right.
That's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. All right, now we'll get to the juicy Super Bowl story coming up next. You gave us a little tidbit.
Well, you know, it's something, because when I think back about when Dan Marino beat the Bears in 85, mm-hmm. you know, there's an incident that said, this is the blueprint to beat the Chicago Bears. No, it isn't. We had so many miscues in that game that they were able to beat and overcome. We still had led the time of possession, rushing, and all that. So there's some similarities to the two.
Great point. Coming up next on Bears All Access, Tom shares stories about the week leading up to his Super Bowl in 1986 against the Patriots, at least stories that he's allowed to share on the radio. That's next on Bears All Access. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrutti, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Also, Miller Lite is hosting the Ultimate Football Skills Challenge at Hallis Hall this February. For a chance to participate, snap a picture of your Bears crew and send it with the word Miller Time to 28130. For more details, please visit the promotions page on chicagobears.com. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority with Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. All right, what was the coolest thing about the week leading up to that Patriots game in 85?
You know, it was for me, it was boring. You know, it was, you know, having a chance to meet Vanna White, talk to her at a restaurant, spending a lot of time, Tom Dreesen, the Chicago comedian, hanging out with a bunch of teammates, going to a bunch of different spots. You know, one of the most interesting thing was I sat down with William Perry at an oyster bar, and I don't like oysters. And the guy says, all right, we'll give you whatever you want to eat. So Fridge kept eating them. I think he ate like maybe nine dozen, like 7 to 9 dozen of oysters while we are drinking pitchers of beer. And I was just, that was the most amazing thing to me, is because I love William Perry, and he's such a great guy and such a friendly guy. And here I am, Super Bowl week, right when we get down there, sitting at the oyster bar in the hotel, and Fridge is just down in oysters like they're liquid.
See, those are the crazy stories.
Right, and not crazy, just another great experience to have.
The
bonding portion of it.
For Tom, I'm Zach. Bears All Access next week with special guest host Jim Miller. So long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.